fully absorb it, and it gives one the taste that one is always hankering for.
But what? What am I going to say? Unfortunate as I am, the mind just simply is opposed, in one sense, opposed to going home to the land of Krishna. And this we shall talk about, Krishna willing, in a moment or two. Why don't we crank up our technology and see if we can Now, if you're going to face me, you won't be able to see that. No. Well, yeah, you have two eyes, and you can make it. Yeah, that way you can just, if you look at Prabhupada and look at Jagannath Dev, you'll see everything. Okay, we want the third one, because we've done. What is. Okay. Let's see what happens. We're going back to fluid reality. Oh, Chaitanya Prabhu, I've made a great discovery about this program. Oh, wait, we'll just wait till it goes through its. Yes. Is that, you see on the right, on the far right, those lines? If you click those lines, on the right click it, and you can go back a slide. Yeah, you can go back a previous slide. Which is quite helpful. Is everyone thrilled about that great discovery? Something to write home about, as they say. Anyway, okay. Fluid reality means really fluid illusion. It's always changing. But the absolute truth, which we'll speak about in the next two sections, the absolute truth is fixed. It is completely reliable. The absolute truth, Krishna, is everywhere. At all times, all places, all circumstances. So the absolute truth is really our shelter. So this is part three, our role in parting the curtain of illusion. So we have four. In this particular part of the presentation, there's four sections. The first one is a little bit of a review of what we spoke about yesterday, that perceptions of reality based in the mind, mental platform, are maya, relative, and illusory. They're like a dream. They don't have actual substance. And everyone, every conditioned soul is on that platform, the mental platform, illusory platform, dreaming platform. And the main dream, the main gift of Maya is you are your body. The absorption, abhinaveshitasya, absorption in the illusion that I am my body. And the mind. So that's the first thing we're going to speak about. And then the second we're going to, we've moved from illusion, we're going to hear the Hamsa Avatar's description of reality in a very, very summarized way, because it's a wonderful chapter, the 13th chapter of the 11th canto, but it's quite long and quite technical, and the verses are all like this, and no one would survive if we went through it in detail here in this class. But we're going to, I've summarized it. Then after that section, we're going to discuss, or actually we'll hear Prabhupada discuss three differing perceptions of absolute reality. So even reality, absolute reality, has its different ways of perceiving, of its being perceived. And then the fourth section is, we'll have four recommendations to help part the curtain of Maya. Because we want to part that curtain, because what is the use of living in illusion? I may think that I'm the king, but it's illusion. I may think I'm beautiful. It's illusion. I may think I'm... What is the use of it if it doesn't... What is the use of illusion? Because it doesn't... It doesn't... It's not real. It's false. It's imaginary. So we want to part that curtain. Yes?
Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
But sometimes we also want to keep our hand in the pile of illusion also. And how to deal with that, maybe, perhaps we'll talk about that too. Okay, so first, we'll, perceptions of reality based in the mind are illusory. Okay, who's going to read this one? Okay, since you were so... But you'll need, you need a microphone, or are you going to be able to... Read it so loudly that everyone, even in the back, will be able to hear it. Okay. Is there a spare microphone? Okay. So the people in the back, if they can't hear it, you can read it.
Everyone says according to his own consciousness. Everyone's perception of reality is not exactly reality. What makes it is perceptions.
Are the mind's interpretation? Yes. Yes. What was that last word again? Hold the breath. Excuse me. Okay. What's that last word?
Interpretations.
Yes. Very good. Very good. You read so nicely, actually. Do you read stories aloud about Krishna? Do you do that aloud? Every night it would be so nice if you would read one, just for 5 minutes or something, aloud, some Krishna book. You think you can do it? Because you're really expert. So, everyone sees according to his own consciousness. We don't see reality. This is what we spoke about yesterday. We don't see reality. Everything that we see, it's scientifically explained even, that the amount of sensory data, the actual raw data that goes in through the eyeball, the physical eyeball, and bounces off the little screen on the back. Don't put the cartels on the floor because they're holy items. Where should you put them? Oh, very good. Thank you. So the amount of, there's like thousands and millions of individual stimulations that no one can make sense of. But the mind, by the conceptions of the mind, the ideas that are in the mind, they categorize things. So when we look at this, we see a
cup.
What else do we, what else do we say that's often? We often say it's a glass, right? It's not made out of glass at all, but because sometimes it's called a glass, it's a cup, or it's a... What else? Okay. It's metal. Yes, yeah, see, the... Steel. It's steel, steel. Yes, but don't steal it. So according to consciousness, we will interpret this. And how many of you, when you first saw it, first named it in a different language other than English? Did anyone do that? What did you call it?
Glass.
That's English, by the way. Well, you must be from Bombay, because it's all mixed together. Are you from Bombay? No. Oh, okay. Everyone's from Bombay. What did you call it first? Did you mind?
Pila.
Pila. Yeah. So, the mind interprets it as it likes. Okay, next one. And this isn't just to deal with glasses, but look what Prabhupada's going to say here.
They also say that no one can ever be pure, that everyone is doomed to be a sinner.
That is, that is the conditioned soul's qualification, that he is a fool, he thinks other fools. Everyone thinks he's like that is nature. After all, manate eva. Everyone thinks others like this. If he's a fool, he thinks all that. These things are not new. Nobody has seen God. How do you take the statistics? Can you say it like that? Any statistics that nobody has? Maybe you have not seen it, but has seen God. That's quite possible, because you have not studied that. We studied all the men of the world.
Yes.
Then how you can say nobody has seen? You have not seen the man who has seen. So he will not admit his fault. He accuses others, nobody has seen. What? You may not have seen, but why you say nobody has seen? You have not seen that person who has seen. Therefore you say like.
Powerful, yes. something about Prabhupada. The completely clear in consciousness, of course, loving Krishna, but completely clear of consciousness and not really of this world, even though in this world, but not really of this world. Very clear when one was with him, and also very clear if you watch even videos of him, not of this world. Interacting with the world for the benefit of others. Okay. So, we actually see, as Prabhupada was explained there, Atmavan Manyate Jagat. We see according to our mind. Therefore, what we see is not reality, we are seeing our own mind. Prabhupada also once told the story of how one man who was deaf. You know what deaf means? What does deaf mean? Yes. Could not hear. So he was calling his wife. Oh dear, come, come, I need your help. And she's saying, I'm just coming. And he couldn't hear her because he's deaf. So he called even louder. Please come, I need your help. And she said, I'm coming right now, I'm coming. I'll be right. And he couldn't hear her. So he thought, oh, she can't hear me. She must be deaf. Sounds like most marriages, right? But not the ones who are just married. So, illusion, living in the land of illusion. Go on, next one. So now we'll move to the Hams Avatar's description of what reality is. Now, so when the mind colors all our perceptions, how can objective reality be known by the mind? If everything the mind sees is colored by his own mentality, how can one actually know objective reality? This question is a cousin brother, I called it, to the inquiry put forward by the four Kumaras about how do you separate the mind from the sense objects? Because they're completely connected. You can't see the where one begins and the other ends. So how can you get out of illusion? Because you can't know the nature of illusion because your mind is defining everything. So to this question, the Hansa Avatar answered the four sages. Now this is my summary over here, but there's basically three points in this summary, and this is the 13th chapter. They say, the Hansa Avatar says, you are an eternal soul. I've put it in the terms of basic Krishna conscious philosophy that we're all very familiar with. but he speaks it in quite a wonderful and somewhat secretive, esoteric way. But he says you're an eternal soul, different from both your body and the states of consciousness that your mind passes through. So the question, how can we separate, this is the question that they asked, how can we separate the mind from the sense objects? We look at that question of basically of the two components of the mind and the sense objects, but there's a third component in there. And what's the third component? Component. What's the third part? Yeah, how can we, how can I, how can the soul separate the mind from the sense objects? And that's what the Hansa Avatar begins by explaining, that actually you have nothing to do with the mind. You have nothing to do with the sense objects. Nothing at all. Now, he's not going to be speaking about something impersonal, saying that everything is actually illusion and nothing really exists in that sense. We say it's illusion, but illusion in the sense that it's always temporary, shifting, changing, like the movements of a dream, of smoke, of projection upon smoke. It doesn't have any substance, but it's real, it's actually there. It's a reflection of reality. But we ourselves, the soul, who is eternal, is completely different from the mind whose business is sankalpa vikalpa. What does sankalpa vikalpa mean? Acceptance. I want this, I hate this, icha dvesha, I don't want this. I really want that, and I'm going to push things out of the way so I get it. This is the mind's working. There is a conspiracy going on, in one sense, by Maya, using the help of the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. No, I don't want to point to you when I say that word. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. It is a conspiracy, and the subtle body, the material subtle body, they're the prime conspirators in one sense. Because the false ego causes us to absorb our consciousness in the dream, in the illusion, the misidentification with the body. And when we misidentify ourselves as the body, then everything the mind thinks, I want, I don't want, we take so seriously. It's illusion. And then what we try to do, politics is like trying to convince other people to take seriously all the insanity that goes on in our mind. And then you realize at some point that you know, you want to tell everybody what you're thinking, everything, and no one really cares. Because everyone, one time I walked into a professor's office in Kuala Lumpur many, many years ago, and he had on his desk a little sign. And you know, professors, professors like, they put cartoons on their, yes, do they often, do they put cartoons on their office doors and things like that? They like these little signs with wise advice, but this one was actually quite wise and actually changed my way of viewing reality. Would you like to hear what it was? It said, I used to worry about what people were thinking about me until I realized that no one was thinking about me. Everyone was thinking about themselves. Yeah, everyone's in the bubble of their own mind, only, practically speaking. And every once in a while there's an interaction between two bubbles. So you, each and every one of us, the Hansa Avatar says, is neither the mind or the sense object. We are souls. And the soul, the mind is passing through so many states of consciousness. And he describes sleeping, awake, and deep sleep. And these are actions of the three modes of material nature. Now he goes to the second point. You are not those states of mind, but the soul, the mind, and the sense objects, the objects within the great bubble, are my energy. They are actually part of me. They are actually my external energy. They are actually the expansions of Srimati Radharani from the sixth canto, 19th chapter of the Bhagavatam. The bodies of the living entities are actually expansions of Lakshmi Devi, who's expansion of Srimati Radharani, and then through the expansion of Durga Devi into Upadan Karan, the physical nature of the of Maya. But they all are ultimately expanding from the energy of Krishna. They are Krishnas. There's nothing in existence other than Krishna. Now, one can perceive this in an impersonal way, certainly, and this we'll speak about later, but it's not necessarily impersonal. This is the energy of Krishna. All the thoughts, all the absorptions, all the good thoughts, all the bad thoughts, all the troubles we have even, all the pleasures we have, this is all Krishna's energy. And if we trace, if we take one little step back from our mind, in other words, full identification with the mind as me, and every thought I have is something essential and wonderful, if we take one step back and say, and watch the thought, and this is basically very much the process of Jnana Yoga, which the four Kumaras practice in Krishna's service, which is called, by the way, Sangha Siddha Bhakti. Then we see, wait a second, my mind is acting in this way. It has an attraction, it wants, it has a repulsion, it hates, it is averse. And this is all the power of Krishna's Maya Shakti, his external energy. Wow! How powerful is the external energy? If the police force in a country is so powerful, how powerful is the country? Because that's just an aspect, an energy of the country and its power. As we mentioned yesterday, the concept of impurity implies that purity, reality, actually exists. Illusion means there is reality. Reflection means if something is reflected, there is an object that is reflecting. Did you understand that? Oh, good. If there is a mirror, and in the mirror you see an apple, or a pizza, make it something that everyone... If you see a pizza in a mirror, does that mean there's a pizza somewhere else? Yes, you did understand what I was saying. Very good. The real pizza really exists. The apple does exist. And that is the realm of Krishna. The realm of reality. The realm of eternal souls. And it is not fluid. It is fixed. It is all Krishna's energy in this world, reflected. Next. So, 2 points from that one. There is a head in the way. We have to keep our head a little bit. Yes, out of the way. So, we are eternal souls. We have nothing to do, actually. It is Maya that makes us place our sense of who we are on things that are not us, such as the mind and the sense objects. And then, those mind and sense objects, they are not just illusion. It's not that they don't exist, but rather they are Krishna's own energy. They are His. And ultimately they are meant to be used in His service. A complete shift in consciousness from that dominated by false ego to that dominated by who we actually are, the self. So the question was, how do you separate the mind from the sense objects? And he says clearly, if you focusing one's consciousness on me alone, and this is the process, automatically causes one to renounce both the material mind and the material sense objects. Don't try to examine this process in a extreme, jnana-like, analytical way. Like, there's the iPod. iPhone, excuse me. We have our iPhone. And it also acts like a... It's a phone, so it acts as a phone. It acts as a... MP3 player, camera, video... Anything else? Map?
Games.
Okay, oh. We wouldn't know. But it does all those things. So what the jnani tries to do, he doesn't know the overall concept of the iPhone. And in this example, the iPhone is Krishna. It's all part of Krishna. But what the jnani does, he takes it apart. This amazing little mechanism that does all those things and takes the components and examines them based on his own intelligence, not using a schematic diagram or anything like that, not having talked to the creators and the designers and the organizers of this and producers of it, but just by his own intelligence, he looks at all the different parts and sees that this part is connected to the phone part, and this part is connected to the amplification system, and this part is connected to the camera part. And some parts have dual functions. They both are connected to the camera, the map, the internet part, and that's when they start arguing with each other. The analyzers of the iPhone and the analyzers of the material elements, the jnanis. So we are requested to not get involved, use our life's energy, our valuable human life's energy, to not get involved in these very fine and subtle understandings of how the material nature works, how ignorance works. Because our whole life will be spent like that. And like the scientists we heard yesterday, by examining this wave-particle puzzle, the more you find out, the more deeper you probe into ignorance, the less you find you know. And the more every question you answer leads to 10 times more questions. And people, this is what it means to be an academic specialist. You find some little area of knowledge and you put your whole intelligence into that and find out all the details about that, so much so that you can't talk to anyone else who's not a specialist in that particular field because they don't know what you know about it. And then by doing that, they call you to a conference and you feel really good that I'm an expert, and then you die. And it's all gone. And we can laugh at these foolish people, but everyone else does the same thing. But the point here is, don't study ignorance, but rather the principle that combines this. The material world is inconceivable. Brahma couldn't understand how to put together the creation. It's so miraculous.
really we could say that no one understands anything about the material world, either on the macrocosm means the big thing, and then on the smallest level, a cell, the more you study in more detail, the more amazing it becomes and incomprehensible. So we are asked, or what the Hansa avatar tells us, tells the four Kumaras, is don't even think about it, how to separate the senses and the sense of, because you're different from them. Don't get into this analytical business. You'll not be able to do it. You won't be able. There's a complete connection between it all. You won't be able to do it. Your instruments are not fine enough, even though you're the most intelligent. Rather, just put your consciousness on me. And then automatically, the thing that you're trying to achieve by studying the elements and separating, it will happen. You'll be able to separate. Put your mind upon me. Put your mind upon me, he says. Think about me continuously. Well, how can I think about you? I'm here in the world. But the world, every single part of the world, is not different from me. I'm connected to everything, Krishna says. And in the so many chapters of the Bhagavad Gita where Prabhupada said it's not hard. Even everyone drinks water. Raso ham apsukantaya. And you can think, don't separate it. And this is what Maya does. It separates, tries to separate everything we do in our consciousness from Krishna. And everything is connected to Krishna. Everything is connected to Krishna. Everything. That's what he's saying. And not seeing me in all things and focusing on anything other than me is false. It's illusion. It's Maya who is the supreme Jaduwala. What does Jaduwala mean? Do you know how to do magic? You know, does anyone know any Jaduwalas here? Only me. When I was a boy, I used to do so much, and then even when I was a teacher, I used to do it. But I'll tell you one of the tricks of magic, of being a magician. Don't tell anyone, though. It's called misdirection. What you do, say if you want to, will make a coin disappear. What you do is you have a handkerchief over here and you have a fake... Don't tell anyone. You sew like a coin, a fake coin into the handkerchief on two handkerchiefs. So you can't see the handkerchief. You can't see the coin there, right? Got it? You understand? Look, there's two handkerchiefs and there's a coin. And you put the two handkerchiefs like that, you sew the coin in there and no one can see it. So if you go like this, the coin won't come out, because it's in there and no one can see it. And then you take a coin in this hand and you go like this. You put the handkerchief there and then you say, I'm putting the coin in here, and then you take the coin and don't actually put it in there. You palm it. You put it over there and then you say, now hold the coin. And you've put the coin here and he's holding the handkerchief that has the coin in it. Right? Everyone understands the trick? And then, your trick as a musician is while you're going like this with the real coin and sticking it in your pocket, you keep your eyes just over here on the coin. And everyone, even now, you're probably looking at my hand, right? Because that's where I'm looking with great intensity. And therefore, you don't see what's really going on. That's called misdirection. Shh. And then you say, and then you're saying you're holding it, and then you take your magic wand, and you say, when I count to three, I'm going to say some magic words, and you let go, and the person who's holding it, is it there? Is it there? Is it there? Yes, it's there. I'm holding it. I know. Okay. One. And then you go, pop, with the magic wand, and let go. And then you go, it's gone. See? Show both sides. Show my handkerchief, it's gone. It's a trick. That is what Maya is doing. Misdirecting us. To what? Well, or from what, we could say. One thing Maya is misdirecting us from is that life is passing very quickly. Very quickly. As we're absorbed in all the things I want, I don't want. I want, I don't want. Life is passing very quickly. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena marita. And it's absorbing us in so many tricky, illusory, temporary things that pass like a dream, that have no value. The petty fighting, the petty this, the I think this and I want that, and now I got a new this, and oh no, my new that got stolen. And the consciousness continuously absorbed in the dissatisfaction of living in the land of dreams. Not seeing me in all other things, in other words, not seeing Krishna in all other things, and focusing on anything other than me is false illusion, Maya. It is like a dream, and that's what Maya gets. And Maya is very powerful. But Krishna is more powerful. So he's saying, focus on me and this attraction. The sweetness of the taste will cause the attraction, the identification of you to the mind and the sense objects will break if you focus on me. So the first point was your soul. You're not the mind or the sense objects. Second point is that there's nothing in existence. All those things and everything else is me. And Maya's business is to make you forget that. And what I'm telling you to do is to focus your consciousness on me. And I am there in everything and every circumstance. And when the four Kumaras heard this, they accepted the words of the Hamsa avatar. And they began to worship him. Now what? They didn't analyze him. Note this very carefully. They didn't analyze him. They didn't look at each, how many feathers he has and what's the makeup of his feathers and what happens if we take two feathers and try to put them together, or what happens if I put the feathers on me, will I be able to... and or, you know, what's his inside like and what's inside his inside. No, they immediately jumped to the path of bhakti, because focusing on Krishna means smaranam. So they began to worship him. And with transcendental love, with bhakti and devotion, they chanted his glories. They immediately understood. Immediately understood and began glorifying that supreme absolute truth, the Hamsa avatar, who we know as Krishna. Because that point of glorification is who we naturally are in relationship to the absolute truth. This is the natural position of every soul, to glorify the absolute truth, Krishna. And that's what they did. They chanted his glories. They had a kirtan. This is the topmost jnanis in existence. That's the end of part two. That's what they did. So they glorify the absolute truth. Part three is there are three different differing perceptions or different perceptions of absolute reality. So even though in the material world you see according to your mentality, but also in the spiritual world you see according to your mentality when dealing with the absolute truth. Please pay careful attention. Illusory reality is fluid and ever-changing like a dream. The absolute truth, spirituality, is all-inclusive and fixed. But yet, it is still true that an individual perceives spiritual reality according to his own consciousness and desires. Now, here is where the fun really begins. Because we've heard in the material world is based on our desires, but now we're going to hear, Prabhupada will speak, how the spiritual world is also based on desires. Our relationship with reality, our relationship with illusion, which is actually a relationship with Krishna, is based on desires, but our relationship with the absolute truth is also based on desires. I was there by Krishna's grace. We need sound.
The creatures of the absolute truth. Vadanti Saptakali Rasyam Dadyanam Adharam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhavani Di Sandhu. The absolute truth. It was Advaya, there's no difference. But he, according to our qualification of understanding the absolute truth, he appears as Brahma, impersonal Brahma. He appears as localized Paramatma, super soul. And he appears as the beloved Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to the receiver, the dharma potential, that is it. If you want to understand the absolute truth as impersonal Brahma, you realize that. If you want to realize the absolute truth as Paramatma, everywhere, all pervading, you can realize that. And if you want to see him as the most beloved friend, you cannot find. That is the meaning of this dharma. You can realize the absolute truth anyway. He is prepared to manifest himself as he desires.
That's so heavy that he will manifest himself as you desire. If you want to turn your back on him, he will manifest himself as the material world and you'll never see him and you'll live in the bubble of your illusion forever, practically speaking. And if you want to see him as just everything, you're seeing him but you won't see him at all. But if you want, what was the term that Prabhupada used? If you want to see him as? The most beloved. Yes. How do you say that? What's the word for that? In Sanskrit? How do you say beloved? Ah, thank you. Balav. Okay. Devotees, could you read this one, please? Oh, wait, go back. We didn't read it. Now we know how to go back. Oh, now we can't go back. Oh, we ruined all my fun. Go back. Sisi Radha Balala Ki Jai. Okay. Please, Sparsh. And then we're going to need the sound up.
What happened?
Oh, I must have done that on my own, programming. Okay. Devotees desire to see the Absolute Truth as the most beloved. There's supposed to be sound here. Is there any? Sri Radha Balava ki jai, the most beloved. Okay, there are three differing perceptions of the Absolute Truth. Now, part four. Four recommendations to help part the curtain of Maya. I thought that was pretty clever. You like the curtain parts and then you see right about it. Clever, yes. Why don't you like that? You can use it next time. Okay, these are very interesting. Here's the first one. How can we deepen our relationship with the most beloved? This should be a burning question. Or rather, if it is burning within us, this question, then we are very fortunate. First recommendation. If we do, oh yes, perhaps Krishna, if we desire to deepen our relationship with him, it's based on our desire. If we do, perhaps Krishna will become inspired to part the curtain of his illusory energy and then show himself. Four recommendations. First one. Here are the four. Harinam Sankirtan. There's so many things. Our whole life in devotional service is trying to get closer to increase our desire to inspire Krishna to be merciful to us, finally. So, Harinam, Sankirtan, I could have mentioned so many others, but there's a reason why I've mentioned these four. Hear about Krishna. We have to chant Krishna's holy name. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that every other process of devotional service we do should be accompanied by Harinam, by the chanting of Krishna's names. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says about number two, he said, so much trouble has been enacted in the amongst the followers of Mahaprabhu by just chanting and not hearing Shastra. So the hearing about Krishna must be there. We chant Krishna's holy names and we hear Bhagavatam, we hear Bhagavad Gita, we hear about Krishna, otherwise the desire will die within us. Or go in the wrong direction. Both must be there. And we must trust in Krishna. Adore Shraddha. And this can be quite difficult. Because we're experienced in this world and we see what happens in this world when you trust someone. You get cheated generally. Because everyone is the center according to their calculation. And then the fourth one includes so many others, sincerely serve Krishna. Now, on 2, 3, and 4, we've picked some sections of Prabhupada's words that I really want you to listen to carefully and listen to his voice. This is the association with Prabhupada. But first, Harinam Sankirtan. This is in Amsterdam. Thank you. so amazing to do this in the street of some materialistic country. That was number one. Who remembers what the second one was? Anyway, if you don't, there it is. Hearing about Krishna. Now, please listen to Prabhupada's words here. And also you can read them. But please listen carefully.
Mayapur, 1971. So, one side, he Maya Jagunika Channam, Maya, this illusory energy, is covered to be carted. It's like we are seeing the deity, but if there is a carton, you cannot see. Similarly, there is a carton which is illusory energy, Maya. Big scientists, they cannot see what is behind this material nature. They cannot understand. Because the Maya, this wonderful material energy, is acting in such a deep curtain, they cannot understand that beyond this there is something else, and they cannot understand. Maya yaunika chandam illusory. They are thinking this material energy working, that is everything. And nothing beyond. The whole world is power. This is one side. And the other side, Agyana. Now, who can understand Krishna? There are so many impediments. One side, there is curtain of Maya. Another side, everyone is rascal and fool. And another side, Krishna is beyond your senses. How much one must be alert? Then one can understand, just like the good sign. This Krishna is so easy thing to understand. But there is process. If we do not adopt the process, then how we can understand Krishna? These are the so many difficult things. One time, one day, the Maya is checking. Maya is trying to put stumbling block for your advancement of spiritual life. Maya Jagunika Channam. And the other side, we are all fools and rascals. And again, Krishna is avabhaja, beyond the range of sense perception. Unless we become very serious, to understand Krishna. It is very, very difficult to understand Krishna. Maya Jagunika Channam. So, we have to increase our attachment, our love for Krishna. Maya Sattamana Prattha Jugam Jinjan Mudasa. This is also explained. Everything is there. Maya Sattam. We have to increase or attachment for Krishna, or love of Krishna, then we shall see Krishna always. Rimana Nishrita Bhakti Vidosani Tamta Sadaiva Rijam Shyama Jandra Achinta Guna Sarupa Govindamadi Purusham Tamam. These are the practical experience of Mahāyāna, Brahmā. The Brahma Samhita is written by Brahmā. He is Mahāyāna. Mahāyāna means the person who knows Krishna. The Mahājans are described, you know, 12 Mahājans. Narada Sambhu Sambhu. Narada is Mahājan. And Brahmā is Mahājan, Sambhu. And Lord Shiva is Mahājan. Kapila, Kumāra, Manu, Prahlāda, Bhīṣma. Mahājans are there. So, we have to follow Mahājana Dena Radhasya Pantā. We should not remain Mula Krishna. We should follow the Mahājan and the Sadhu, Shastra. And they recommend the most important process is Savaram. Dinnadāma Savatā Krishna, Purna Savana Kītam. If you don't hear about Krishna, then how we make advance? We have to hear. My Guru Maharaj was very kind upon me because I was very much interested to hear. That is not. I did not understand it, actually. In the beginning, I could not understand. He was speaking in so high philosophical way. And it was not. Still, I wanted to. That was my only point. So, it is the process. During lecture time, if you don't care to hear, or you do other things, or take rest, then it's not very good time. You should be very much careful. Then you shall remain Mula Dusha, Matunatu Dharu Dusha. We have taken the vow to see Krishna, to understand Krishna. We should be very, very serious and do the needful. Then our life will be successful. Thank you very much.
Prabhupada is very strong. And this is him speaking to the devotees, too. Another one, trust in Krishna. Very sweet but strong words from Srila Prabhupada.
My dear friend, don't afraid. Everything is all right and present. And there is no fear. Be pacified, I will give you protection. So, this is the exchange. So, there is no need of becoming very learned man, Vedantist, and simply these things are required. You become innocent. Accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead and fall down at His feet. Everything. This is one. Simplicity. Believe in Krishna. As Krishna said, matta paratanam nanya kinchidasti. Believe. There is no superior authority than Krishna. And he says, marmana bhavaman bhakta madhya jīmāna namaste. This is the instruction. This is the substance of all instruction. Believe Krishna, the Supreme Personality. Here is Krishna. Believe that here is Krishna. Innocent child will believe. But our brain is so dull, we will inquire whether the deity is made of stone or brass or wood. Because we are not innocent. We are thinking that this deity is something made of brass. Even if it is brass, the brass is not God, brass is God. Because Krishna says, Bhumi Rapanaro Vayu, Anumano Buddhi, Aparayam, it has Vinnami Pratisyastu. Everything is Krishna. Without Krishna, there is no existence. So why Krishna cannot appear as he likes? He can appear in brass, he can appear in stone, he can appear in wood, he can appear in jewel, He can appear in painting, anywhere. He can carry a lot of power. But we have to take it that he is Krishna.
That one, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, this was, he spoke that in 1977. This was just a few months before he departed from this world. And this was practically the last engagement in the Mayapur festival in 1977, where he spoke to all the devotees. This is what he was telling them, that here, it's all here. You just take it. Here's Krishna. Take it. And all the different forms, in the form of the deity, in the form of the holy name. Take it. Take him. Think of him. This is the highest. Then you have to develop your attachment for him. Not mechanical. We want to develop our attachment for Krishna. Because yayatam mampapadyante, that if we become attached to Krishna, Krishna becomes attached to us. And then he'll lift the curtain. He's always attached to us, but he reciprocates according to how we deal with him. And Prabhupada in that first act said, Maya will put obstacles on your path. Maya Javani Kachanam. And we have to be serious. We have to hear. And earlier Prabhupada said, we have taken a vow to know Krishna. Think of our involvement in Krishna consciousness like that. Here we are. What are we doing here? We want to know Krishna. Develop our relationship with Krishna. Not just to be part of a religion or a social gathering, but it's to develop our relationship with Krishna. And he said, we've taken a vow. We've made, this is our purpose. Here, trust Krishna. Chant Krishna's names. I mean, yes, no, I want to go on to the fourth one, because then there's another part to this presentation that I want to make sure we get to. So I'm pushing a little bit, excuse me for that. And this one, listen to Prabhupada's words here. Oh, talking about strong, powerful words from Srila Prabhupada. 1976, Mayapur Festival, speaking to the devotees. Serving mood. Sincere serving mood.
Yes, You learn not to order Krishna. Krishna, give me that, don't bother Krishna. That is the beginning of Krishna.
That is the beginning of pure devotional service. No.
You prepare to carry out every order of Krishna. Then it is. Don't make Krishna your order supplier. You become order supplier. Therefore, you say that Srivaru Rupa. If you learn how to be friendly to Krishna 10%, then you get everything. Without us, this is not all everything. What is required for you? Just like a father knows what is the necessity of the child. The child never begs, father, give me this thing. No. He is simply dependent on parents. The parents know. Similarly, if we become 10% dependent and serve him faithfully under his order or his representative order, then the success is here. Srimanu Rupa. Srimanu Rupa Pudaya. Pudaya is become manifest. That's like the sun. He is rising in the sky. It is not by your order. It is rising by his own way. You cannot say,
Let him, by your son, please immediately come to the media and make it known. No, I'm not your servant. I shall write according to my sentence. So, similarly, if you cannot order anything to come, a creation of God, or anything according to your order, then how can order Krishna? This is foolish. Don't order Krishna. Try to serve Krishna. Then you will be successful. Srivana Rupa Yodhara, na paravartam. Krishna has got this in his hand that you are inferior, therefore his favor is not bestowed upon you. This is foolishness. Don't become envious of somebody who is getting Krishna's favor. Krishna is favoring him because he has son. You serve, you will get food. This is what. Krishna is not discriminating. That one is getting more opulence, more success, and other is rotting. That is not Krishna's, it is your discrimination. You wanted some rotten things, you get it. You wanted some stone and wood, you take it. But if somebody wanted to start, I'll give him study. Not as a son. This is parava, not parava. This is foolishness. That this has favored him so much, I have not favored. If you become just eligible to be favored, then you will be favored. This is it. Not parava. He has no such expectation. Devan Mukhe, he be bhado, sayame, vas purattada. So this kind of facility, it is our foolishness. It is not facility. That is punishment. Real facility is how to serve Krishna. That is real facility. So we should always ask best. That is the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's step. This facility is always ours. But I don't want any facility of this material world. I'm not worth to serve you. Still, I'm begging, give me this facility so that I can get this chance to study that.
Start the fourth one. Now, I know this is, Prabhupada's words are so strong, and it's really good if we would let them sink in deeply and not, okay, now we've heard that, now go on to the next topic. And the whole topic we're talking about is consequential. To break free from the illusion and part the curtain and be with Krishna, and that's why we're here, to develop that attachment to Krishna. So there were four methodologies for doing that that came up. Sankirtan, also Harinam, then hearing, trust in Krishna, and sincere service. Service not to get anything, not to take anything, but just to please Krishna. Let me do this for Krishna's pleasure. Now, this fourth part takes it a step further, because we heard that there are different ways to please, to view the Absolute. According to our mind, we see differently in the realm of illusion, and according to our mentality, we see even differently the Absolute Truth. The mentality that Prabhupada referred to that causes one to see Krishna is attachment to Him. Now we will explore this, the mentality of seeing Krishna
further in this fourth part, and how powerful that is. The fixed absolute truth. Now I'm going to ask you, if there's not very much time left, so concentrate, even though it's not easy, I know. Maybe we can keep the doors open and windows open so some air comes. This fourth part is called the power of bhava. What does bhava mean? It's bhava bhakti, means love, but bhavana, what does it mean? Like the mood, your consciousness, your nature in relationship to the absolute. This determines what we experience. In one sense, that's what we've been talking about all along. Our consciousness will determine our whole experience, and this is true in the spiritual level, and it's also true in the spiritual world. I might have to hit it one more time here. Everyone perceives reality according to his own mind, his own consciousness. This is actually Krishna's reciprocation with the individual soul. Because we want something, we want to see that thing, we see it everywhere. Like, I mentioned this many times, like when I want to buy a new computer, everywhere I look I see new computers. When I want to buy a phone, I see phones everywhere. This is Krishna's reciprocation. Or if I want to buy a house, can't, but but anyway, you start looking, you see for sale signs everywhere on houses. So this is Krishna gives us a consciousness that matches our desire. This is actually Krishna's reciprocation with the individual soul, according to one's own mind. A devotee sees Krishna's mercy in whichever way his Lord reciprocates with him. So this is the mood of a devotee. His consciousness, regardless of what his fate throws at him, he sees Tateyana Kampam Susamitchalano Bunjane Vatmati Pavapam. I may have put that verse in there. Let's see. That he sees Krishna, because that's what we want to do, become Krishna conscious. Tateyana Kampam Susamitchalano Bunjane Vatmati. Evatma Kripava Bhakam Ridvagva Purbiya Vedana Stage Vityom Bhakti Pade Sadayavat. Next. My dear Lord, who is speaking this? Anyone know? Lord Brahma. What chapter of the 10th canto? 14. What verse? Yeah, oh, good. Very good. My dear Lord, Brahma says, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, not only the body, but his mind, his consciousness, his heart, his citta, and his words and body. Such a person who sees Krishna in everything that occurs, we're back to that same point, that Krishna is in everything. Everything is him. But he's a person, but he's in everything. Such a person becomes surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Very important verse, and a secret in Krishna consciousness. Next. So I'm moving fast now, excuse me, but we will move fast. Go. Next. Huh? This is the... Oh, sorry. A devotee fixes as his Krishna conscious goal to change his bhava. These are different meanings. Ecstasy, state of being, mood, consciousness, nature. From a self-centered spirit of enjoyment, which pleases no one. And when I say no one, I mean no one. Including the person, especially the person who has that mood, the selfishness, as one of our dadus in Vrindavan used to say before he passed away, I am the worst kind of fish, a selfish. Not pleasing to oneself or to anyone else. So what we want to do, and that's what some people are better at hiding it than others, some conditioned souls, but this is what conditioned consciousness means. Complete abject selfishness. So we want to change our self, our consciousness from that selfish mood to a Krishna consciousness, that I want to please Krishna. That's what bhakti means. Wanting to please Krishna. I'm doing this. What engine is driving my activities? Instead of being the selfish engine that I want to get something for me, but it is for Krishna's pleasure. And that's what Prabhupada was speaking about the serving mood. And listen to what Prabhupada says about bhava here. Because he's talking about Maya.
At the present moment,
yes,
we have got in bhava. I am this, I am that. I belong to this family, I belong to this nation. Bhava is ecstasy. And everyone is overwhelmed with such kind of ecstasy. Politicians, they think that we are simply wasting time in chanting and dancing. There are no sense how to improve the position of the country. They do not like, because they are in different bhav. But we are trying to change that bhav. The bhav must be there. The whole Krishna consciousness movement is to purify the bhav. Bhav, that is stated here. Parishuddha bhav. We are not negativating everything. We are simply changing from material bhava to spiritual bhava. Here is a big building. There are many other hundreds and thousands of big buildings in this district or in this country. But here the bhava is changed. The bhava is changed. In your country there are many big skyscraper buildings. In comparison to those buildings, there is nothing. But still, you have come spending thousands of dollars here to change the bhav. That is it. That is required. Otherwise, you American boys and girls, you have no business to come here to see this big building. No. To change the bhav. That is it. That is very important. So, sarvapāsi vinikmuttam tat parasena nirmanam viṣikena riṣikesam sevanam bhakti vichyati riṣikesa sevanam. The bhava is bhakti means to change the bhava. At the present moment, we are in a different bhava. It has to be cleansed, parishuddha bhava, pratishtha rupena. Puri, Sutta, clarified, clean, but we have nothing to reject. Simply, we have to change the bhav.
Simply, we have to change the bhava. We don't have to reject anything of this world, because this world is Krishna's world. It's his energy. But we have to change the bhava from false ego to real ego. False ego means it's for me, for my pleasure. And real ego, Krishna consciousness, means it's for Krishna's pleasure. That bhava we have to change. From false ego to devotion. Now, Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī says that the Lord's heart, can you read this one, Prabhu? Sparsh, this one I want you to read it very loudly.
The Lord's heart is affected by bhakti and nothing else. The commentary of Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī on Bhagavatam, Canto 10. chapter 41, verse 47.
Very heavy that actually if we develop that bhava, the mood of bhakti, we can actually affect Krishna's heart. And he's unlimitedly powerful and fully satisfied, but bhakti, the bhakti of his devotee, affects him. And that's what will cause him to open the curtain and allow us to be with him. Bhakti. Doing, acting for his pleasure. That's love in the... Oh, I don't want to get ahead, but go ahead, next. One's bhava is so important. Even Krishna himself will be differently perceived according to one's bhava. So sometimes we think, well, if I can see Krishna, then everything's going to be all right. This is from when Krishna entered the wrestling arena in this is the end of chapter 43 in the 10th canto. In 44, Kamsa is killed. But when Krishna entered the arena, Rasobhai Sa, Krishna is the reservoir of all rasa. People, different people, there was one Krishna who walked in to the arena with one Balaram, but everyone saw him differently. The various groups of people in the arena regarded Krishna in different ways when he entered it with his elder brother Balaram. Oh, when Krishna entered the arena, when Krishna, the pastime of Krishna leaving Vrindavan, the whole Bhagavatam is wonderful, especially the Vrindavan sections. And when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, it's so heart touching. He's brought on the chariot by a Krur, who is a relative of Krishna, senior relative of Krishna, sent by Kamsa specifically to bring Krishna. Maybe, did the children have a volume control? No, children never have volume controls. So, Kamsa sent a chariot, a new chariot, to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, because they were village boys. And he thought, if there's a new chariot, they'll get on it and want to come, because they're village boys. Just like if someone sends a Mercedes to bring you to the temple. Most of us don't drive Mercedes and things like that. We want something wonderful, we'll get in it. So he, because Kamsa wanted, because he was so fearful. Sometimes we might wonder, why didn't Kamsa just go with his armies to find Krishna and kill him? But he was so afraid, continuously afraid of Krishna. So he hatched this great plot and conspiracy to bring Krishna to Mathura, and he sent a Krur, and he even let Akura know what his plan was to bring Krishna to kill him. He was so afraid. But one could ask, Akura was a devotee, why did he take part in this plan? And one reason is he knew that the plan is for Kamsa to be killed. So he took Krishna, and to make a long and wonderful story, pastime, very, very short, and when Krishna entered Mathura, his dealings with different people there are wonderful. Perhaps during the week we may have, somehow I'll cheat in the, if I give a Bhagavatam class, and somehow find an excuse to tell some of this pastime. It's so wonderful. But finally, Krishna entered the wrestling arena. What did he do before he entered the wrestling arena? What did he do directly before entering the wrestling arena? He killed the elephant Kuvalayapita. And he killed him with the tusk. He ripped out his tusk, the elephant head, and then he killed him with that. And then he pulled out the tusks, and he put one over his shoulder. And Balaram took the other one, his huge tusks, and they walked into the wrestling arena, looking sprinkled with the blood of the elephant, and the scent exuding from the elephant's forehead, they were decorated with that, and drops of blood and their perspiration, and over their shoulders, and they had gotten the cloth, wonderful clothes suitable for a wrestling match, beautiful like an actor, the day before from the washerman. Anyway, and they walked in, and they were so attractive and effulgent. And they walked in to the arena, and there was a huge dais where Kamsa and all the royal dignitaries of Mathura was sitting. And they put their backs to Kamsa. And they started talking about him. Who is this Kamsa? Who cares about him? And then they took the tusks and drove it right into the ground in front of Kamsa. And Kamsa felt those tusks as if they were piercing his own heart. And when Krishna was standing there with Balaram, all the different people saw him. And they regarded Krishna in different ways. It was one Krishna who entered, but they saw him in different ways. The wrestlers saw Krishna as a lightning bolt, so powerful. The men of Mathura as the best of males. The women as Cupid in person. The coward men who were in the arena as their relatives. They saw him as Sajan. He's ours. He's our boy. Oh, look how wonderful he looks. The impious rulers, they saw him as a chastiser. According to their consciousness, they saw Krishna. His parents saw him as their child. The king of the Bhojas, whose name was Kamsa, he saw him as death. The unintelligent saw him as the Supreme Lord's universal form. They didn't see his spiritual nature. The yogis saw him as the absolute truth, and the Vrishnis as the supreme worshipable deity. So according to their mentalities, even when they saw Krishna, they saw him in different ways. Which really explains why we can't be in the spiritual world now, because our mentality isn't suitable and we wouldn't see Krishna. We would be out of place, because the residents of Vrindavan, the Loka Vrindavan, they see him completely differently. Because Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful and has unlimitedly beautiful, wonderful qualities. But according to one's consciousness, one's heart, the quality of one's heart, Krishna allows one to perceive aspects of his beauty and qualities. So if we walked into the spiritual world, you know, with our mobile phones, you know, we want to take pictures of everything so we can show everyone back home, you know, we've been there. Yes, you wondered where I was? Yes. I've been to Goloka Vrindavan. Here's the proof. There it is. Just look over here. I even have, what's that called, where you can have the 360 degree vision on your Apple, on your iPhone, huh? Panoramic. Yeah. You can see, just look around. Of course, it's infinite. It would take a while to get all the way around. It took a long time to get the photo. But we won't see anything. We'll just see our minds. The residents of Vrindavan, they see, because their mind is full of a special kind of bhakti, Krishna reveals himself. Because he's captivated by their bhava. The power of Baba. Example of the power of Baba from the first canto. Although the queen's beautiful smile and furtive glances, moving glances, were all spotless and exciting, but although they could conquer Cupid himself by making him give up his bow in frustration, this is the queen's in Dwarka, when Krishna entered Dwarka.
And although even the Tala and Shiva could fall victim to them, the queens, still despite all their magical feats and their attractive abilities and attractions, they could not agitate the senses of the Lord. From Prabhupada's purport, and here's the point I wanted to show. And when Krishna walked into Dwarka after in the 11th chapter of the first canto, after leaving Hastinapur after the battle of Kurukshetra 104, the entry to Dwarka is described in that 11th canto in a wonderful way. And then finally, Krishna, after greeting all the citizens in general and his parents and all Vasudeva's wives, then he went into his own palaces and saw the queens. And there they were. First, they shyly looked at Krishna, and they sent their sons forward to embrace him. And then they embraced him within the core of their hearts. So Prabhupada says in the purport, the queens, they could not satisfy the Lord by their feminine attractiveness, but they satisfied him by their sincere affection and service. Only by unalloyed transcendental loving service could they satisfy the Lord. And the Lord was pleased to treat them as wives in reciprocation. Thus being satisfied by their unalloyed pure service only, the Lord reciprocated the service, just like the devout husband. Because they loved Krishna with such intensity, as the perfect wife loves the most perfect husband, he took on the role of a husband for them. In reciprocation with the power of their love, he was completely controlled by their love for him. And he became the perfect husband. And that's why Krishna was acting as a husband in Dwarka, because these souls, these persons, love Krishna in that way. And Krishna just reciprocated with them. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atheists see God as nothing, and Krishna reciprocates with them equally. Treats them like nothing. No reciprocation. Samoham Savabhuteshu. You're under the laws of nature. Equal reciprocation. But for devotees, he reciprocates individually, personally, according to one's mood. So with the queens, like a devout husband, and is there any more? Yes. But now we're moving still higher, from Dwarka to Braj. The natural and spontaneous bhav of the Brajabasis, is so powerful that it places Krishna, the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead, under their control. My dear Uddhav, Krishna says in the 11th canto, the unalloyed devotion, bhaktiya mamurjita, the developed devotion rendered to be me by my devotees, brings me under their control. That's what Prabhupada was saying about bhava. You'll get everything. But don't try for everything when you're serving Krishna. He'll give you everything. He'll give you more than everything. He'll give you himself, who is everything and more. But what do you want? If you want to please him, if you're willing to be like the residents of Vrindavan in mood of pleasing him, then instantaneously you'll be in Vrindavan. But what is the mood of the residents of Vrindavan?
It is most difficult to understand, and it can't be imitated. Never should be imitated. It is spontaneously and naturally simply focused on Krishna. There is no other cause of happiness in their existence other than Krishna's pleasure. They have no other thought naturally and spontaneously other than to please Krishna. Not because they have to, not because they're supposed to, but because this is the condition of their hearts, of their consciousness. They love Krishna. Their thoughts are so focused on Krishna, it's compared to the yogis. Krishna himself compares their thoughts to the yogis, who focus their mind on samadhi and bring out all other thoughts from their consciousness, but are so focused, their minds become like lasers in the sharpness of their focus. The residents of Vrindavan, the ladies, especially the Vrajagopikas, they are focused like that. And they attain Krishna simply by means of that focused loving devotion. They control him completely. He remains indebted to them and under their control by the power of their special quality of bhakti. But all the residents of Vrindavan have Krishna. They give him sweets. The elderly ladies say, "Oh, Krishna, if you dance nicely, I'll give you a sweet." And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he dances for them. Like a little boy. Sometimes you see this in India. I've never seen it in the West. Sometimes they have little children who they train to dance in little clumsy ways. But it's so cute. And that's what the... And it's all done by the power of sweets, for sure. But what makes Krishna act like a little boy for these elderly gopis? He needs sweets. You have devotees all over the world every day are offering him sweets. What does he need sweets for? But it's the sweets are coated with the bhava of these devotees. And he wants them. He needs them. He's controlled by them. Krishna says, this developed love puts me under control. I cannot be controlled, not subjugated, by those engaged in mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, pious work, Vedic study, austerity, renunciation. No matter what we have, it is simply not enough. No matter what we can do, it is simply not enough. Only one thing places Krishna under control. It's completely natural. He's controlled by the love of his devotees. For willing, Mother Yashoda, she's willing to die 1,000 times to save Krishna from one drop of perspiration inconvenience. She's just so absorbed in this Shuddha Vatsalya Prema. And by her association, all the ladies and men and brides become absorbed in this. Because of her association, practically speaking. No other way to please Krishna. This is the lesson of material existence. This is actually what the Hansa Avatar was telling. And this is why he came out of like a swan. Because the swan, as we know, what does a swan do? The milk. Take the essence and separate that essence out from everything else. So he separated the spiritual part from the material. He separated the soul, the Atma, from its material covering. And here, in Braj, you get the essence of the essence of the essence, just like Mother Yashoda has special cows. I think they're called Padmaganda cows. because their fragrance is like a lotus, and his feet feed them special grass. Because Krishna is stealing butter elsewhere. She thinks, oh, he doesn't like the butter that we give him. So we'll get the best cow and make the best butter. And she's churning it away. Churning and churning. To give it to Krishna. And she captures Krishna completely by this. But before we end part four, in 3 minutes, which is highly unlikely, I'd like to tell you one pastime of how Krishna was, and Balaram were under the control of the cowherd boys. But this pastime, if I tell it properly, won't take 1 minute or 2 minutes. It'll take half hour. So I won't do it. I'll stop. Krishna and Balaram are controlled by the cowherd boys and their love. There. Okay. Concise form. Any questions? Or comments?
Could you read the passage?
Huh?
What were the gopis in the previous book?
They were gopis. there's different classes. But it takes, like the cowherd boys, itam satam brahma sukhana bhutya. To get the position that they're in, it takes birth after birth after birth after birth after birth after birth of cultivating this kind of desire. So it intensifies and becomes so strong that Krishna is captured by it. So now the desire is compared to like the seed of a plant. Bhakti Lata Bija. So it is placed in the soil of consciousness, and it's protected, and it grows and grows and grows. So it may take some time before the intensity of desire, the intensity of focus of desire is proper. So we can be there, like the cavern, like all the residents of Vrindavan. But when we talk about the Nitya Siddha personalities, they didn't have previous persons. They were eternally what they were. This question was answered, I think, in the eighth chapter of the tenth canto about Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Prakrit Maharaj asked, "What would they had so much love for Krishna? What were they in their last births?" And his reply was, "They weren't. There was no last birth for them. They're eternally Krishna's mothers." And then there were the sages of Dandakaranya, who moved up, and by the association of the Nityasiddha devotees, they became perfected in their desired relationship with Krishna. And then there were the other ones, the Shrutis, the Upanishadic Shruti Gana, that they wanted to be with Krishna. So it took time for some. Any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, in that slide where it said the Amsatara's instruction, the first line was, you focus you focus on me.
Yeah, this is, by the way, that was my summary.
Focus your consciousness on me.
Yes.
Why didn't it say focus your mind on me? What is the difference between these two?
I think the actual Sanskrit was manasa. It was mind. But sometimes the word chitta, for example, is used for mind, consciousness, because the subtle body, these four elements are the same, really. They're one substance, but depending upon how they're used, this is one way to analyze it. Mind, consciousness, false ego, and intelligence. They're all part of the subtle body, and sometimes they're used interchangeably. Ahankar, manas, chitta, and what was the other one? Buddhi. But the actual word, if I remember correctly, is manas there. Because that Krishna says the same thing, manmana bhava bhava, you focus your mind on me. What the mind in the conspiracy to keep is the chief conspirator, we can say, to keep us in the material world. It focuses on so many other things and makes them appear desirable. So instead of that, what the Hansa Avatata, you focus on me. Understand this philosophy that all these things, they are me. Not me, the person, but the energies, my energy. So imagine how great the person is. The artist is greater than the art object, because the art object has come from him.
Kumaras go into Vaikuntha, because when they at the doorstep, there's an incident happens when
because Lord Narayan wanted to teach them something. It was all his desire. This is described in the third canto.
Because it says that they returned back because they did not actually enter Vaikuntha. So I said, was there any fault in their sadhana that they could not enter?
Well, there was actually, they understood, of which it's a long discussion, but they understood they had made a great mistake by cursing the Lord's devotees, because the Lord actually told them, you're so dear to me, and you have it's the fault of my devotees, my people, so I take that fault on myself. So indirectly he was saying that they were wrong, but he's clever. But then at the end he said, this is my plan, because he wanted to, because the material world is also his lila stan, it's his place for pastime, so he wanted to perform the pastime of Aranyakashipu, the pastime of killing of Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Sisupal, Dantavakra, all pastimes.
But then the Kumaras, they don't get to come to
It doesn't say that. I don't remember it saying they were sent back.
They returned. They just returned to the Lord and they returned back.
Well, what was the purpose of going to Vaikuntha? Where were they on their way to?
They wanted to see the Lord.
So they saw him. They didn't want to take a tour. They saw him. Okay, I've seen him. I'm going back.
But that is the ultimate destiny to be. I mean, Prabhupada, the way he says it, they were not allowed to enter
Vaikuntha. No, when he says they were not allowed, it means by the gatekeepers. They were disallowed to enter into the final gate of Vaikuntha. But there was a pastime going on, and this is what Krishna said. Last question.
How we understand in the material world, soul is different from the gross body in the subtle body. So in the spiritual world, does the soul have a spiritual subtle conception of a mind and intelligence?
Yeah. And it has a spiritual mind and a spiritual body. But this is just a functioning. It's not a covering of the soul. So here in the material world, the soul is asleep, so to speak, to its actual identity, and has these coverings.
So that spiritual body and spiritual mind is different from the soul?
No. That's the person, the actual person. Because he's a person. A person has these elements. He has a form. He has a nature. See, everyone is an individual. So there are individuals. Even the cows are individuals. They all have individual names. You know any of the names of the cows? They have different colors. There's spotted ones. You know the names of the spotted ones? They're called Pingali. Oh, Pingali. Oh, Madangamukhi. Oh, and they would call the names of the cows. And when Krishna would climb, and this was part of the pastime, Krishna would climb a hill, and his cows, if they were far away, he would take off his yellow pitambara and go to the top of the hill and wave it around and with his sweet voice he would call them. And sometimes he would call them with his flute playing. He would take his pitambara and wave it around and call them. And when they would hear the sweet voice of Krishna, they would immediately want to come. He would take the calves and he would massage them. You know why? Because he loved them. He wasn't a cattle farmer, cattle rancher. He loved the calves. Krishna loves the calves. Actually loves the calves. And therefore, because he loves the cows, they give so much milk. Because the milk is the affectionate gift of mother cow. So in reciprocation for the love, they give milk. That's how they reciprocate, because they reciprocate. They're alive, developed. They reciprocate. When Krishna enters into the forest of Vrindavan, the forest reciprocates. They want to make their offerings to Krishna. So what is their offerings? The grass offers soft place for Krishna to walk, and they touch his feet. And the trees offer flowers, beautiful, fragrant flowers. They just blossom. Because they want to make a scene. They don't want to be the main actor. Their desire is to make the setting so beautiful so that Krishna's pastimes can go on. And then the breeze comes and takes the fragrance of the flowers and spreads it throughout that land. And then the demon Pralambasura comes, whose consciousness is filled with hate for Krishna. He doesn't belong there. His consciousness is filled with, why is Krishna the center? Here I am. This is the material world. This is the land of illusion, the land of false ego, the land of taking one's consciousness, one's mind, thoughts as everything. This is the curtain of Maya that's dropped in front of our consciousness so that we can't see the connection of everything to Krishna. What to speak of, know the person who's Krishna, because you can't have any envy in your heart. That's what you have to have. You have to have simplicity of heart, is what Prabhupada said. Now, how do you get simplicity of heart when you're a Kali Yuga product who was born in New York? What do you do? You know, from now on, how am I going to become simple? You know, and then you have to find a complicated way to become simple. You know, it doesn't work like that. But this is required, actually, that Krishna says you have to find the grounds to trust Krishna's words and the experience too. We fall back on our experience. 1,000 times, 100,000 times we've seen Krishna protect us. We fall back on that. So we can adjust. And we chant Krishna's names sincerely, like a baby crying for mother. We may not feel like going out on Harinam Sankirtan, and see, the devotees, you could tell that they make, when we saw Kadamba Kanamaraj and Sachinanda Maharaj there, they created a little bubble, their own world, where they look at each other Otherwise, how can you have the strength to go out into this crazy Kali Yuga and everyone thinking that you're mad? So they look at each other, they dance in circles, they chant loudly and keep on moving. And keep on moving. So it might not always be fun. And Krishna consciousness has its days. You know, and it says it's you know, and someone's fighting with someone, and the last thing you want to do is do whatever it is you're supposed to do. And that's what it means. Oh, but for Krishna's pleasure, I'm not going to take my mind seriously. My mind is telling me this right now, rather than I'm like this right now. Just see what my mind is telling me now. Instead of being a servant of my mind, what will be pleasing to Krishna now? What will be pleasing to the devotees of Krishna now? That shift has to come. And unless we chant, unless we hear, unless we associate with devotees, unless we serve the deities, unless we serve, it will never happen. That shift. It'll all be on another game of the intellectual platform. Yes, I know what to do. As if that means I'm doing it. Just another trick of the mental platform. Another life, half-life in the mental platform. Half-life because it's not real life. It's just imagining that this is what's going on and I'm not doing it. But we want to love Krishna, Prabhupada said. And we need that bhava of loving Krishna. Then the issue becomes, well, how do I love him when I never met him? But we have met him, actually. That's so interesting, where Krishna told the, Mahaprabhu told the devotees yesterday. I don't know if you heard that, because I've read that one many times, and some parts strike me strong enough. He said, remember when the doctor came, you had the fever and the doctor came? That was me who protected you. So Mahaprabhu said that, and because no one else knew it, the devotees said, yes, how did he know this? So he was saying, but it's Krishna who's the protector. You think that the doctor can cure you unless Krishna gives him the potency to cure you? Do you think you can? You ask a scientist, from the Einsteins to the Kumaras. You ask him where he gets his ideas from. Is it from by his heart intellectual processes, or are they coming like boop, just by the grace of God, actually? They come. It comes by the grace of God. Mata smitam jnanam apoanam cha. Reciprocating. Okay, you want that? Okay, it's yours. But if you want me, I will also be yours. Do you want me? Yes, yes, I want you, but I also, but I'm not going to tell you, but I also have some other plans and desires too. Krishna said, really, I never would have guessed. Oh. That's why we heard how the Sridhar, when Mahaprabhu asked him to ask for benediction, he said, you already know. He said, ask, I want to give. That's Krishna. He is Bhakta Vatsa. This is his swarup. His actual nature is, I want to please me. He's a person. I want to give. But I just don't, and I'm giving everyone everything anyway. I'm giving the air, even to the greatest of rascals. But I want to give to the devotees, especially. I want to give myself. I'll give them anything they want. They want me to be the best friend, I'll be the best friend. And I'll become so absorbed in being their best friend, because their love is so much controlling my consciousness, that I'll even forget I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's what happened in this Pralambasura past. That Balaram, Krishna arranged it, that Balaram lose or defeat Pralambasura. Krishna made Pralambasura his general, so to speak. And he was carrying Balaram. And then because Balaram was very heavy, so he couldn't maintain his external demeanor, so to speak, because Balaram was so heavy. Just like we may be in a bad mood or angry inside, and then we try to smile at everyone, but then something happens, something heavy happens, and then the comes out. Because when something heavy happens, your real nature comes out. So Pralambasura couldn't maintain his false form. But Balaram's mood was, he was surprised. I was carrying a cat. Coward boy was carrying me, and suddenly his teeth are going to his brow, his hair is fiery red, and his eyes are fiery. What's going on here? And Balaram became afraid because he didn't want to leave his mood of a coward boy, because the coward boys love Balaram so much. And Krishna had to remind him. I said, Balaram, he did it by the movement of his eyebrows. By moving his eyebrows, he communicated to Balaram. Now isn't the time to forget your divine nature when you're being carried away by someone who's going to kill you. And Balaram remembered. Boom! And it was over. He had forgotten. He was so controlled. He didn't want to leave that bhava. Being with the people who loved him like a coward boy. He didn't want to leave it. His mind refused to leave it. He has a mind. So he forgot. Krishna forgets. Krishna cried. His mother was going to chastise him. When Kunti Devi heard about this, she couldn't understand it. This is inconceivable. He was crying. His mother was going to chastise him for stealing the butter. And he was crying because he was afraid. His mood was a coward, a little baby, because his mother's love was so powerful. It was so powerful. How can we understand this? We can't understand this. I can't say we, but hearts are so full of false ego and selfishness. How can we understand this? We can understand by the mercy of Krishna, by chanting, by the holy name, by the mercy of Radha, by the mercy of Krishna's reciprocation with our attempts at sincere attempts at service. And then by His grace we understand we can't do anything by ourselves. We can get a glimpse, and that glimpse is enough, as I can't remember exactly the reference, but it says, one drop of love of God is enough to drown the whole world. Let us do our part in moving, deciding what we want to do, and then to try our best. Try our best to make use our life properly. Try our best. And there's the don't side, and don't get involved in all the rest. Meaning, don't let the mind misidentify with all the rest as separate from Krishna, but rather, with great devotion, use all the rest for Krishna's pleasure. After all, it's His. It's not yours. It's not mine. Whatever I have is His gift, and in one second He can take it away. All of us are old enough to know that. In one second, everything, our whole dream and plan, and it's supposed to be like this, and it's supposed to be like that, completely finished in one second. And therefore, when we're idealistic, even as devotees, aspiring devotees, when we're dreaming in an idealistic way, oh, Krishna consciousness is going to be like this, and ISKCON is going to be like this, and it's, you know, it's going to be, you know, eventually it was like one of those Amrita Chitrakata comic books or something like that. I'm going to be a devotee, and then, you know, everywhere I walk, I'm not going to bump into anything anymore, and, you know, always get a good job, and, you know, this, isn't that what it's all about, isn't it? And then all the devotees would love each other. One devotee once wrote Prabhupada a letter and said, in our temple, the devotees don't fight. And Prabhupada said, that is utopian. In other words, it will never happen in this world. It will never happen. Dream. But be ready. This is what it means to have no false ego. It means whatever the circumstance is, I'm Krishna's servant. How can I please you? How can I please you? So if we're idealistic and dreaming it's going to be like this, then we'll end up being cynical at the end. Cynical means we'll see no good. So we have to have our feet planted firmly on the ground, which means in reality, not in the fluid concept of reality, but in what Krishna wants. I'll do that and firm faith that he will care for me. And nothing happens without his blessings. I mean, I have so many examples of this. What Prabhupada lived through, we've seen that. And so many of his followers have gone through such heavy things and remained so strong. You see with Chitra Ketu Maharaj, when he was the Vidyadhara, Swaga Pavaga Rakeshu Apitaliyati Darshana, even Lord Parvati was amazed at his consciousness. So fixed, so accepting. Maharaj Prickett himself cursed to die, the king's cursed to die in 7 days. He says, anyway. Let me just hear about Krishna for those 7 days. Then I'll be happy. That's all I ask. Let me hear about Krishna during those 7 days. And Śrīla Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura says, this was Krishna's plan to bring him home. Okay, and this is Krishna's plan for me to stop speaking. All good. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Balava ki jai, Shri Radha Balava Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. And one other thing, one very kind, soft-hearted devotee gave me some Mahaprasadam from Srinathji Gopal. And he's given me more than I can eat. And I'm not sure what to do with it. Anyone have any idea? Did someone say share it? Okay. Would anyone like some? This deity is so powerful. He's so powerful. He's caused all of Gujarat to be in an ocean of moving this way and that way by everyone pushing. It's the most wonderful thing, yes? To be in that ocean. The first time I went to see him, I was in American Bath. And I didn't like all the pushing and pushing. But then after that, and I said, I'm never going to go here again. But then, and then there's the gentleman with the gumshoes who are beating you to move you forward. But then after that, I just surrendered to the ocean of the devotees, just pushing me this way and that way. So wonderful. That devotion is so wonderful. It's catching. Anyone like some Mahaprasadam? Maravendra Puri. Chaitanya Mataji, why don't you distribute from...